Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Feel like running. Amen. 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 Well, two people feel like running with me. Amen. I think everybody else feel like sleeping. Amen. All right. We're continuing our series on judging our thoughts and intentions of the heart. Judging our thoughts and intentions of the heart. Let's open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Remember, we're talking about judging our thoughts and the intentions of our heart. In a summary fashion, that's not what I want to say, another word there, but summing it all up, it's taking a closer look at the inside and not the externals. Because everything external that we do externally first comes where? From the inside. Does that make sense?
Amen.
Yeah. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 5. And then we'll get to our usual opening. But I want to, many moons ago when we began this series, we actually opened up with this. So we want to kind of get a reminder and then go back to our foundation text of Hebrews 4:12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 5. On behalf of such a man, I will boast. But on my own behalf, I will not boast, except in regard to my what? Weaknesses. Now remember, Apostle Paul had this mighty vision, sent it up to the third heaven at the verses 1 and 2, and saw unspeakable things which he could not utter. And he is saying that if he's going to boast, it won't be in the fact that he had those visions, but in his own weaknesses. I'm going to read down some more, but I want to tie this in. Why did we open up the Judging Our Thoughts and Intentions of Our Heart series with these set of verses here, this passage of scripture? Because when we get to know ourselves, we're going to see our weaknesses. We don't want to run from our weaknesses. We want to recognize and embrace them and recognize that where we are weak, then what? I got ahead of myself, but I just want to set that back up. That's why we opened up with this, because we tend to hide our weaknesses. We tend to not examine our weaknesses. We tend to ignore our weaknesses. We have many ways in dealing with our weaknesses a lot of times, but not the right way, which is dealing with our weaknesses and certainly not boasting in our weaknesses. Does that make sense? We certainly don't want to boast in them. We barely want to recognize them. Say, man, ain't nothing wrong with me. I'm good. We're quick to tell ourselves we're good. So like Proverbs says that, you know, man's ways in his own eyes are pure. It's the counsel of the Lord that stands.
Amen.
There's a way to man that seems to be, I got to help a preacher back there, seems to be right. It seems right to us. But then thereof is death. That's why you should be very afraid when you think that what you've come up with is okay. I'm saying, and you're not acknowledging God in the process. We said many times, make your plans, but I fear for you if you make your plans and then go stepping right toward those plans to bring them to pass. That's a scary thing. Why? Because they can seem to be right, but then there is death. They can be pure in your own eyes. This is good. But please, learn to distrust yourself mightily. Why? Because man's heart is deceitful, trickery, and above everything else. And in the Hebrew, incurably sick. Jeremiah. So definitely don't follow your heart as the world tells you to do. Boy, what a lie from Satan. Follow your heart. Scary. You better follow the Holy Spirit. So he says here in verse 5 that I'll boast except in regard to my weaknesses. I will boast on my own behalf, but only in regard to my weaknesses. Verse 6, for if I do wish to boast, I will not be foolish, for I will be speaking the truth. Now, I could boast on my good things, and it'll be true, because I really did see those visions. I saw some things that probably no one else has ever seen. So he would have the right to boast on this side. You follow me? But look at this. But I refrain from this so that no one will credit me with more than he sees in me or hears from me. I think King James says to think of me more highly than he ought to think. Wow! Isn't that so different from the quote-unquote evangelical charismatics? They have a vision, they're telling everybody, writing books on it and everything. That's what I grew up on. Not grew up on, but in my 20s, we went over to the charismatic. That's Kenneth E. Hagin. Visions and dreams, whole book on it. Got me wanting to see visions and dreams, just like him. I was wanting to see that. I desired that. The super duper natural. I like how one preacher said that word of faith. People desiring the super duper natural and can't even balance your checkbook. In other words, things that are the simple things. He was preaching good on that too. Paul said, I'm not even going to talk about less you. And we did. We looked at Kenneth Hagin and others who had these visions and dreams. We looked at them more highly than we ought to. Apostle Paul said, that's why I'm not even going to talk about it. What humility. Don't want you to look at me on the good thing, even though this really did happen. Instead, let's dwell on the weaknesses. So verse 7, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, these revelations weren't just great, they were beyond great. Notice it says the surpassing greatness. These were a tremendous vision. Can you imagine going into the third heaven? And theology teaches us that the third heaven, that's where God dwells. There are three heavens. The one that's in the atmospheric. Then there's a second one and there's a third one. And that's where God personally dwells. And that's where Apostle Paul was transported, whether in the body or out of the body, he could not tell. Whether or not it was a vision or whether or not he was physically taken there. Which means that the molecules of the body had to be changed even to send him to even go through the atmosphere to get to that point. It's an incredible thing. These visions were beyond great. Verse 7 again. Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh. Who was it? A messenger of Satan to torment me. Says it again. Why? To keep me from exalting myself. Because these visions were so tremendous, you could build a ministry for decades here now. And here, the Lord is saying, don't even say nothing about it. And the reason is because you'll be lifted up in pride. Where do you think Paul gets that information, that inside information, that, you know what, I gotta do this or else I'm gonna exalt myself? It comes from the Holy Spirit. He's telling him, you are going to be lifted up in pride. You're going to lift yourself up. Because that's what Satan wants. Remember, that's what he did. Satan exalted himself and said, I will be like the Most High. And he's trying to get Paul to do the same thing. And the Holy Ghost, through the grace of God, headed it off at the pass. And he blocked it. He blocked what Satan meant for evil. God blocked it. And said, you know what? You're going to go through some things. But there's a good reason. So it says twice in verse 7. Because of surpassing greatness of the revelation, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Why was the messenger of Satan sent given Apostle Paul to keep him from exalting himself? Well, why would you, I know you just said that. Why are you asking that? Because so many people miss that and they teach that incorrectly. Who wants to keep Paul from exalting himself? The devil? No, God does. I know you know that, but I'm just saying, you'd be surprised at how that's thrown so many people off when it's clearly written there twice as the reason why. Satan just didn't come in and attach himself to Apostle Paul. No, God allowed it and then gave us the background of the story. Why? So Paul wouldn't exalt himself. God did that. It says, there was given to me. Who gave it? God did. And that's what charismatics will not teach that. Even though it's crystal clear in the text. You got a perplexed look on your face. You're like, well, how could they get around that? When you have a mindset already, you just deny what's clearly there. It's clearly there. The devil is not going to ever try to stop you from being lifted up in pride. That's the sin that killed him.